Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
Welcome back, Zen friends. If you're new to the podcast, we welcome you. You're hitting at a great time. If you're old, well then, I'm so glad you're here.
Super excited you keep coming back.
Thank you.
Week after week.
Share your time with us. Spending your time with us. So it is week three mm-hmm. of our childhood health and wellness series. And we have a fabulous guest here today, Mary Beth
Uberti.
We both were so nervous about this last name. We're like, oh my gosh, we're going to butcher it.
I'm just not good with last names. No. So Mary Beth Uberti.
Correct.
Yes, it's a long name. Yes. So yes. Thank you so much for joining us. And Mary Beth is with Operation Parent. Mm-hmm. And it is a resource education built website
/platform. We're a nonprofit. Yes.
Okay.
We are 11 years in existence. It was started by Jean Shum. She was the parent of five preteen and teenagers when she realized there was a lot of things that were happening within the home with her kids, but really didn't have the resources to understand what was out there. There were tons of books written about, you know, having that first child and that baby years, the preschool years. But then once she hit the preteen, teen years, there wasn't a whole lot out there in one place that would explain to you, you know, well, what's going on with this? How would you know that? And so she created Operation Parent to do that. So we are education and resources for those raising preteens and teens.
Fantastic. And you guys are how many women are there men too that
No, we do have men on the board. Mm-hmm. There are six of us that work there. We started, when we started, there were like two. Yeah. For years, there were two of us. And over the years, we've grown. But now there are six of us. And that's Operation Baron.
So you guys decided to just collect stories and advice and things that you found that worked for you.
Yeah, it's we do a lot of curating of the resources. So the kind of things that we talk about with parents are anything with the digital world, which obviously we're going to be talking about that today. Health and mental illness, mental health, anxiety, depression, suicide, cutting, things to that effect. Mm-hmm. Also things having to do with dating violence, sexting. These are all issues that for a lot of parents, we didn't grow up with them, or we heard about things happening, especially with mental health issues, but never so much of it as what's going on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we really focus on is through our parent handbooks, our webinars, our community presentations, anything we put out there, we have researched it. We're really just trying to nail it, to like grind down and say, okay, here's what it is. Here's the resources. Here are, you know, warning signs, trends, misconceptions, where you should go to next, so that we can say to a parent, you know, if we're going to talk about cutting, which we will in a webinar next week, you know, we've got a professional who's going to talk about that. So, but we also have the resources on our site. And then a parent can say, you know, okay, I'm seeing these, or maybe my kid is seeing it because a friend is mm-hmm. talking about it or doing this. And so what do I do now? How do I deal with this now? You know, with the drugs and alcohol issues, the various drugs. So we get a lot of phone calls with parents that are just saying, you know, okay, my kid tested positive. What do I do? Like, mm-hmm. what do I do? I've had phone calls where parents say, I found this and I don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, okay, let's figure out what it is. And we sometimes will get police officers who are very kind, will come to our office and meet with a parent and just say, okay, that's what this is. So you need to understand, here's what's going on. But just a lot of parents will call, especially at the technology side, you know, I need help with this. How do I do this?
Because it's a learning curve. We are all learning about it mm-hmm. every single day. It's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing, because it really does help.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about technology, what would you consider the cyberbullying or...
Well, and that's what we wanted to talk about today is cyberbullying, and, you know, what are the signs? What mm-hmm. How can we prevent it? Or can we just put on a different pair of lenses to be more aware?
Okay.
Of, you know, what's out there.
What's out there. There's all kind of stuff out there, unfortunately. On anything. It's on your cell phone, on your gaming systems. It comes through the internet. That is what cyberbullying is.
Can you repeat that one more time, that definition?
Sure. It's willful. I'm choosing to do it.
Okay.
It's repeated. It's not a one-time deal. Kids have fights. Kids get angry with each other. They obviously are communicating via their phones. So they will have fights. But if they can solve it and move past it, that's a conflict. That's a disagreement. But it's when it's willful, repeated. I'm choosing to do this and I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the kids will fall into it without really realizing that's what they're doing, but for whatever the reason, the payoff is good, and the payoff can be the adulation of other people. It's the friends who are liking the comment. It's the friends that are maybe retweeting it or sharing it or talking about it. So that is the payoff. Mm-hmm. And so now it's willful, repeated, and I'm intentionally going to harm you. It may not be physical, but usually it's words, pictures, videos, comments, exclusion. I'm going to post everything that happened over the weekend and you were intentionally not invited. And I'm going to make sure you know you are no longer part of this group. And right. And so it's that kind of stuff. I'm out to hurt you. I may take it to that next level where I physically harm you, or maybe there's a combination going on. Maybe there's physical bullying going on too. Mm-hmm. And this is an add-on or vice versa. It could start as cyberbullying that moves into physical bullying. It's you know, it's just another extension of that type of behavior. And so you have three groups involved. You have the person that's doing the cyberbullying.
Okay.
You have the target. And then you have all the kids who are watching it. Mm-hmm. They're the bystanders. So okay. It's when you talk about what do parents need to know, they need to know your child could be any one of those.
Yeah, and I want to talk about each of those. Mm-hmm. Today. So let's talk about the target.
Okay.
What are the signs for the target? How do sure. we pick up on different things from that end yeah. as a parent?
For the target, it's sort of like, what are those warning signs if your child's bullied? Mm-hmm. Okay. So kind of think the same thing, except now we're talking the bully is physically removed. But your child, the behavior may change. They might mm-hmm. become very moody, depressed,
okay.
angry after usage, or scared after usage. So if they're on their phone and you can see that their demeanor has changed, the way they're reacting has changed after they get done using it, well, then something happened. Now, whether you see that happen again and again, or maybe they stop using everything. Maybe mm-hmm. they love to play the gaming system, their Xbox, and they're always on Minecraft or Fortnite. And then all of a sudden, they just stop. Okay, there's a reason they're avoiding that. You know, or they avoid school, they avoid the friends, or they're avoiding a situation where maybe that person would be present. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the overall picture of your child. Your child will change, you know, but if you're seeing the same things, maybe they're complaining of stomach aches, headaches. Maybe if the cyberbully's in the school, the person who's doing it, you might be getting called from the school just as much as if the bully's in school, you would get called from school because your kid has another stomach ache. Mm-hmm. Or they're having headaches. And okay. So you feel like you're constantly going to the school, or you're just watching your child withdraw. And so if you're seeing those signs where the kid was all bubbly and slowly but surely you start to see different things occurring, that's when you start asking, mm-hmm. okay, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And you start, hopefully you're monitoring, but now you really got to start investigating mm-hmm. and talking to people. Talk to the parents of the friends.
Yeah.
Somebody knows.
Is mm-hmm. there a sort of shame involved, too, with this kind of cyberbullying? Are they reluctant to come to a parent and say something? Is mm-hmm. there kind of a drawback from the parent as well? Saying like, I don't want to tell my parents about this kind of harm?
Sure, it can be. Hopefully, you know, it's really difficult. If a child is starting to realize people that they considered friends, or maybe they really weren't friends, but everybody's against me, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know how to handle it. Or in the beginning or even touring it, I start trying to go back at them. So I'm trying to do what they're trying to do. Because a lot of times kids will try to flip the table. Mm-hmm. Well, now if I've done that, or if my parents read what I've posted, am I going to tell you
right.
willingly? Because I'm going to get in trouble here.
Right.
And this is all part of really keeping that conversation open with mm-hmm. your child. But yeah, there can be an element of shame, fear, especially think about it. If a child is being cyberbullied by somebody they don't know, so they could be talking with somebody. Maybe you've already set the rules. Oh, you don't do that. And the child's gone ahead and done it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really afraid, but this person's also threatening me.
Right.
So now it's
like a rock and a hard place. Like, where do I go?
Right. And it can be really difficult for a child. And a lot of kids, only 1 in 9 will ever tell that they've actually been bullied.
Right.
And that's bullying. So, okay, I don't know what, it's pretty much the same statistic with cyberbullying. So most kids don't tell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And what about if, from the perspective of the bullying, like what if you have the kid that is creating
the problem? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have the kid is creating the problem.
I feel like that's a harder thing to spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most times somebody's going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another parent, maybe the school will call you in. And, you know, obviously you think the best of your child, but honestly, any child given that opportunity may fall into it. Number one, I can't read your reaction. I'm online mm-hmm. and I don't see your reaction. I don't see your bodily reaction to what I say, what I post. Everybody else is saying, oh, that's funny because they're all liking it. So I might, in the back of my head, depending on how young this kid is, you know, by the time they get in middle school and high school, they know exactly what they're doing. But if you're talking elementary, at the same time, it's like a combination of, well, everybody's laughing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm getting the praise.
Why not?
What's the problem? Mm-hmm. And yes, I realize that I'm hurting that person, but you know what? I can't see that person.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know what? And so a lot of times a parent will get that phone call and their initial reaction is to say, no, not my kid. But yeah, any kid can.
Okay.
Any kid can.
Wow. And the group mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You put a bunch of kids together
mm-hmm.
and it's really difficult for somebody in that group to stand up and say, no, stop it. That's not right. Because let's face it. You know, by the time you get into middle school, that friendship is so, so important. That's part of the developmental phase. Mm-hmm. So in the brain development is also going on starting around age 12. The brain does this wonderful maturing process. It starts about 12, doesn't end until about 25. But part of that problem is that what's going on is the kids' brains are developing and the parts of the brain that are reward, you know, that anxiety-based, it's all developing sooner. But that reward is needed, and my friend group is needed. So you got those combinations coming together. And now if I'm part of the group that's watching this happen online, how am you going to have a kid that's going to have to be strong, that knows it's really wrong, and I have someplace to go to report it. And I know what to do if I see it. And I know not to join in. I know to say to an adult, hey, this is happening, or go to the victim. And say, have you told anybody? Because mm-hmm. this isn't right. And if they are friends inside a school and that's a friend group, you have a, you know, are you going to be the one
right.
to stand up? Because you might be the target then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so
that's probably the fear. They didn't want it flipped onto them.
Sure. Especially mm-hmm. if they have been the target in the past and it's not them now and it's you. Wow.
Yeah.
Do I want this coming back on me? And this is where the kids all will band together. And some kids will just do it once or twice and go along their way, but you've got 70% of kids see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get them to start speaking up.
Right.
And kids are getting better about it.
Well, and that was my next question. Like, what are some ways that you can encourage your kids to speak up?
Yeah, and as a parent, you really just got to keep that conversation open.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to have them on a gaming system, you're going to have them anywhere that they're talking to friends, whether it's text, you know, FaceTime, or chatting, texting, you got to start explaining. Your words have impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way you treat somebody online affects them just as much as if you were standing in front of them. If you would not say that to their face, you don't say it online. And you just ask, have you seen cyberbullying? Have you ever explained what it is? Have you seen it?
Have you felt uncomfortable?
Yeah. Have you felt like...
Did you feel like this may have been wrong?
Yeah. Have you seen people make mean comments? Okay. And if your child says yes, you say, okay, so how do you think it would feel if that was directed at you? Well, you know, and have a conversation. You don't want to get them, well, you should have done, you know, because the kid is like, well, okay, if we're having this conversation, please, it's really hard, but try not to attack the child and say, okay, now, how about if you were in a group and say you were texting and somebody starts making mean comments, maybe they start posting photos that are going to be embarrassing. What could you do? And your child may honestly look at you and go, I don't know. Okay, well, then let's talk about that. Let's think of what could you do. Could you come tell somebody? Mm-hmm. Am I going to get in trouble if I tell you? You know, that's probably going to be one of the first questions. And the answer is no. If you tell, we need you to report it. So who could you tell? Because they may not want to come to mom and dad, but they might go to a teacher. They may go to a counselor. There's resource officers. There's maybe a coach. You know, there's different people in their life, an older sibling, an adult. Somebody, please tell somebody. Because the person that's getting that, they're hurting. So if you can tell, what else could you do? And a lot of kids, a lot of elementary kids already know, well, I can report it at the very bottom of the screen. There's the help. And I can go in there and I can report that user ID. Yeah, you can. That's a good thing to do.
That's a good thing.
You know, what else could you do? Well, I could choose not to like it. Yeah. You don't join in. You can say something, too. Do you think you could feel comfortable saying something? Well, what could I say? All right. Say, hey, that's not funny. You know, that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, would you feel comfortable putting that in there? Well, maybe. What else could you do? All right. Well, I could possibly text the person that's getting cyberbullied and say, are you okay? I don't believe any of that. Why not block them? Block them now. And I'm going to block the person. Or I can, if I'm good friends with that person, go to that person. And if I've really got strength and say, you know what, you got to stop. That's not right. And so it's a combination of knowing what to do, but at also empathy, which is a developed skill. It's not innate. It's developed over the years. Empathy for the other person and opening that door to help that other person.
What repercussions have you seen in the recent years of cyberbullying in young ages? So what have
you? It's gotten a lot of suicide attempts, completions of suicides, young kids. I mean, unfortunately, elementary school kids. And because obviously the brain's not developed yet, they don't understand the ramifications of carrying that act out and how permanent it is. They just want to stop the pain.
They just want to stop the harming.
And then, you know, they could be experiencing depression, anxiety from it, but and maybe they just feel like they've done. Maybe in some cases, I can't speak to all kids, but a lot of times the parents have done everything, and they still can't get it to stop.
Wow.
And so, unfortunately, so suicide, depression, anxiety and depression is on the rise for our youth. They're seeing that, and a lot of that sometimes is attributed to social media, trying to keep up with everybody, the likes, you know, making sure that, you know, your selfie is liked. Because some kids will put up a photo, and if it's not liked so many times within so much time, they take it down.
Oh, no. Okay.
You know, or watching everybody else have this perfect life that you don't have. But the reality is, everybody's only going to post the best. And, or being, you know, that, looking at that going, okay, my life must be nothing compared to that, which raises anxiety and depression. So.
Okay. Wow. What, as far as devices go and being able to access social media and, I mean, I guess gaming, I feel like is one thing because it's its own little console, but again, it's its own portal to destruction potentially. But for social media and, you know, having a device, what age are you starting to see children, I guess what age do you see people starting to give their kids phones and tablets that they
have control
they have control over?
First grade. You know, and for a lot of parents, you know, well, we're busy, I need that child to have a way to contact me. And I get that. I do. But at the same time, give them a dumb phone. Dumb phone, send and receive text and phone calls. That's it. You can put on parental controls and say, these are the people you can contact. Mm-hmm. If you're going to feel that you need to for a younger age, don't give them internet capability at that age. They don't need it. Most social media sites, their recommended ages are 13. That's the recommended age. We're middle school. Mm-hmm. But when I go out to elementary, the sheer number of kids on Instagram, Snapchat, you know, they're, you know, doing FaceTime for whatever reason. Now, the next question is somebody helping them and monitoring them? And in a lot of cases, I do see that. And I hope that continues. But then there's also the kids that just get the phone and just start joining things. And the question is, are you over 13? Yes. Because none of them really check. They can't, really, because anybody can put anything in. And off they go. And now the world is open. And that's why, you know, we do a lot of presentations with parents. You know, these are some of the things you can do at home. And we encourage them to go do these things. Even if you don't know how to use this device, go find a teenager. They know. They'll help you. You pay them 15, 20 bucks. They'll help you all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, but to set the parental controls, to have conversations, to be able to say to them, you know what? You're in third grade. You're not going to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be using a gaming system and you're going to give them a headset so they can talk, you better know who they're talking and playing with. Mm-hmm. Because I hear more for a long time, it was Minecraft, where the kids all got on to play with their schoolmates, and inevitably somebody doesn't play to the same level. So somebody will start getting on and just target that person and knock them right out of the game very quick. Mm-hmm. Now, in their head, I'm playing the game. Mm-hmm. But if you're the other kid, and this happens to you every single time you get onto that game, that's cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. And then they go to school, and they're having a rough time. They go home, and they start this process every single day.
Right.
So the gaming systems, the app, you know, you've got to be involved as a parent. You can't just give it to them and just let them go.
Like willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're going to find stuff that you don't want them to find, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you're giving us so much to think about. Oh,
you know, our young kids, and we monitor a lot. I don't think that I feel like we live in a bubble over here sometimes. We don't do the games yet, but I do think it's not far off for me. I have two small boys, and they have already asked for it, and I'm still pushing that off and pushing that off. Mm-hmm. You've given me a lot to think about. So as far as ages, what do you recommend moving forward for when to introduce game consoles, like the communication ones, when to maybe think about a cell phone and other devices?
The gaming systems, a lot of them are playing them on your phone right now. And some of them already have texting availability through the phone. So you got to look at your kid. If your kid's little, you can usually shut off the texting component and let them play. When they're in elementary school, if you decide to have a game console in your home, please be aware their internet capabilities. Whether you choose to make it so they can play with other people, that's your choice, you know. But set the parental controls that come with the gaming system. They're in there. Mm-hmm. So you can actually know who they're going to play with because you've given them access to play with that person. So you can say, you know what, these are the people you want to play with. I'll give you access. But you know what? This system is going to be in the living room. It's not in your bedroom. It's not downstairs. It's in the living room. And your kid inevitably at some point will go, well, why can't it be in my bed? Well, here's the deal. You want to make sure that they're playing it properly. Mm-hmm. And you can notice then. And plus, you want to start setting limits on how long they're going to play it. Because if you put it up in their bedroom, good luck.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to get absorbed in it, you know, and keep playing. So put it in a general area inside the room, house where everybody can see it. You know, you don't have to go to the headset at this stage. You know, a lot of middle schoolers will start with the headsets. Know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
Pay attention to how they act after the game.
Okay. I would much rather have the noise of the video game in my house than a quiet room and not understand or hear what's being said. Doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also can pay attention to if they're throwing down the headset after they're done repeatedly. Okay, so what is going on? Mm-hmm. How about you not play with the headset and let me watch?
Right. You weren't getting that upset when you were playing Mario Brothers. Exactly. What's going on? That just makes you happy. Yes.
You know, I have a question about, so we can control what happens in our houses.
Correct.
What conversations can we have with other parents that when our children go to their house and
what
even kind of conversations controls? We have with our kids about what they participate in. What they participate in their house.
Because that's where you can say things all day in your house,
right?
But they're going to go to friends' houses. Right. And I feel like that's when I did the most things. So we're at other friends' houses. I'm like, oh, well, so-and-so's mom's at home. Yeah.
And you learn whose parents are more lenient, you know? And you're like, oh, that's a good house to go to. Is really get to know the parents. Get to know the parents of the friends that they're hanging with, okay? Ask the age-old questions, is the parent home? And then if you don't know that parent, don't send your child over till you're knocking on their door. And if you can get into a conversation, you know, well, this is what we do in our house about phones. You know, I don't, my child doesn't have a phone. They're only in third grade. You know, what's going on? You know, do you mind me asking?
Okay.
You know, so kind of like, okay, let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing. But it is difficult because you don't know. You know, you can have a parent saying, yeah, but I don't let them play that, but the game system's upstairs or the cell phones go upstairs with them and all bets are off at that point. So you can really only control what happens in your own home and teach your own children and talk with them. Listen, your friends are coming over. You know what? For the first hour, there's no phones, no gaming system. Get outside. And then after an hour, you can come back in and you can play on your phones for half an hour, but it's in the living room, guys. We're not going upstairs. You can hang out here. So you need to start that negotiation with the kids, with your child. You know, obviously age-appropriate negotiations, but there is a give and take. You know, if they're really following the rules well, okay, then you earn maybe 15 more minutes, whatever it is. But also keep in mind, you know, when the kids are coming over the house and maybe you're going to have a sleepover, do you want them to have their phones overnight in their room? Because in my house, no phones. The phones are in our bedroom at night.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I even have a high schooler
in
our room. My point with that is you need to sleep. And if the phone's in your room, guess what you're not going to do? At some point, you're not.
Right.
You know, or if the gaming system's in the room. The temptation, if I wake up in the middle of the night, is, I'm bored. I'm not able to sleep. I'll play that. And now I'm really up. So, but with kids spending the night in your home, you might be saying to everybody, okay, here's cell phones in this little basket. They're going to be in our bedroom. Everybody got their chargers. We'll charge them up in different plugs, but all, you know, you got to tell the other parents though.
Yeah. If you need your kid, text me.
Text me. Here's my number.
Yeah.
I collect phones in this house. That's what I do. Because if you don't tell them, and some child may have that rule from a parent of, you better answer my text within so many minutes, that kid's going to be standing by that basket.
Right. Like, no, no, mom.
Right.
So it's black and white to kids.
Exactly. Yeah. There is no gray, you know. So you have to communicate with the other parents. But really, you can only control. So you got to start getting to know those other parents.
Yeah.
And if your child's saying, well, we're going to so-and-so's house, and you can never get a hold of that parent, and then you're like, okay, who's home?
Right.
You know, are they home or is there an older, you know, an older sibling? Okay, if there's like an older sibling, okay, what are they playing?
Yeah.
That I don't want my child to see. So you just really got to get to know the other parents. And that's hard. In elementary school, it's great. It's easy.
Sure.
They're right around your neighborhood.
Right.
It's when you get to middle school and high school, those parents aren't as accessible. So that's why it's more important to work with your kids at home.
So what I'm hearing is constant conversations. It's a constant,
almost constant every day.
Yeah,
and it sounds like you've got some great boundaries set.
Yeah. You can use parent-child contracts.
I love a contract.
If you need one, you can come to our website at operationparent.org. You can also just email me at marybeth@operationparent.org, and I will shoot you a contract. There's many of them out there. The ones that we like, Common Sense Media has them out. Kids Health has them out. Trying to Connect Safely has some out. So you can go on there and print one. You can also make one. You know, sit down with your child. It's a chance to sit down and say, here's the rules.
Right.
But it's not just all their rules.
Yes. I was going to say, I've got one that she's going to be a great negotiator. I mean, she already is. She's 8 and a half. So I can see the contract now. I've been like, I see, but I also raise you to a piece. And I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing here, kiddo. Yeah. Well played.
And part of it, too, is what are you going to do? How are you going to teach them? Because that's part of the contract. It's not just the child side as a parent. And as a parent, I will teach you these things. Mm-hmm. And I will model that behavior.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a hard one. You know, if we say there's no phones at the dinner table, that goes for the adults at the dinner table.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I say, you know, and 16 comes fast, you may not think that when you got little ones because you're in the thick of it, but 16 comes fast. They hit middle school and it goes. But you're saying to your teenager, no text and driving, no text and drive, no text and drive. But then mom and dad do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that kid sitting in the back seat, even at little 8-year-old watching you do it, they're thinking, I'm so much better at that than you are. Right. This is going to be a breeze.
They're indestructible, too.
There's no forever in their head at this stage of the game. They can't see that. So it's a lot of modeling the behaviors, set the parental controls. You get them through your internet provider. You get them on gaming systems. You can buy something like Circle by Disney. You can install apps like TeenSafe and NetNanny Safe. I mean, you can do, there's so many out there now that you can research.
Are those on the website as well?
Yeah, or you can just send me an email and I'll send you a list. The ones that a lot of parents have said, you know, I love that one. So
we'll get that list from you and we'll put that on ours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then you research and decide what you like. I just hear a lot of parents that have younger kids like Circle by Disney. You can order that right from Amazon. It's a little box, but it gets you control of your Wi-Fi and every single device that comes into your Wi-Fi. And then you can set by person limits, you know, so how much time. And then
that's great.
Yeah.
Circle by Disney.
Circle by Disney is a real popular one.
We'll be downloading that after the show. All right. That's amazing.
Are we shocked that Disney did this?
No. Disney even has a new thing that they have an app where if you're waiting in line at for a ride, you can play games that are interactive within that ride. So it's based on the characters in that. It tells you do you see, you know, Buzz shooting a hoop? And you're like, oh, that's where you are in this line. So they've timed it out and they know how to prompt the questions.
Yeah, because they're tracking you.
They already have my thumbprints. They probably know my heartbeat at this point. I'm like, dang, Disney is on it.
They know my smile, Like, oh, wait, Shannon lost 20% of her smile.
Right.
Let's get it back.
Somebody quick. Where's Alice in Wonderland? Send Alice in.
Because last time we went to Disney, cell phones were still very popular, but we weren't using them. We took a book called Hidden Mickeys.
Oh, that's the best.
And that's what cool. we did standing in line is look for the Hidden Mickeys, but now they can play a game with you.
Well, now there's an app for that now, It's crazy.
I don't doubt that.
Well, you know, I think I might have to get that book.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good one. So there is so much thrown at our kids when it comes to technology. I mean, it's in the classroom now. I mean, they're rewarded with, playing games. And even, I know when we got into, they do it in kindergarten now too. And there's Go Noodle, which is fantastic. But it's still an electronic, gratification. There's something coming that's stimulating your mind via a device. So do you have any, tips on creating a digital detox for your kids or your family or even yourself?
Yeah. Digital detox for our family, that would be great ideas.
Well, you can kind of give it this thought. Okay, try to get a feel for how much time you are spending. Now, any more on the iPhones, it tells you every week.
Oh, I love playing the game.
I was down
last week. Yes.
So if you start looking at your numbers and you're thinking, oh, geez, that's really bad. Can you imagine what your kids are? Mm-hmm. So you can start by, you know what? I'm going to not use my phone after this time. And I just, let's get, as a family, agree, this is what we're going to do. And if you got little kids, you just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But if you can start that process that way, where everybody's involved, we're going to shut everything off. In the summer, it's really nice.
It is nice in the summer.
Because you can say, hey, no tech time. That's what I used to do. My kids got to middle school, they would be like, really? Really, you know, and let's read. Yeah, really, you know, but we would do it, but it would be for a few hours, you know, go outside, go do something, do anything. But, and by FYI, you leave your phone here, know, as much as I love you and I sort of trust you, you're not taking it with you if we're not doing that. So you can start that way where you do it in, you know, let's see, if I want to get my time down, well, then let's take my kids with me. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do it. So bring out board games. you know, go for walks. Now the weather hopefully will stay nice. You can go for a walk, you know. Mm-hmm. Go outside and throw a ball. Play a game outside. Do mm-hmm. something that takes that time and gives them something else to do. You know, read a book together. You know, just start to kind of find other things to do. Mm-hmm. And then especially with your young children, set a limit on how much time they get. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just say, here's your phone and off you go. Mm-hmm. You know, if start thinking about, okay, they come home from school, how much time should you allow? Like, every kid's different. My daughter, when she would get home from school, she'd had to do homework immediately. That was her brain. Mm-hmm. My son was the complete opposite. It took me a little bit to see where he would come home, and he was like, just give me an hour.
Right.
Let me do what I want. And his doing sometimes was go outside, and sometimes it was let me play Xbox. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got an hour. Hour's up.
Homework it is.
So mm-hmm. every kid's a little different. Pay attention to how your child comes home. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're that child that needs to get it done because they want to go out and play and that's what they want to do, then okay. But if you start looking at them and saying, okay, so here's your time, your tech time. Go have fun. Mm-hmm. But it's in the living room. It's where we can see you. And how did that go? If you start seeing your child upset, hey, I couldn't help but notice.
What's going on? You bring up a good point because one of my children, when he comes home, he's like, that's exactly. It's that decompress. Mm-hmm. He wants 20 minutes and we allow 20 minutes of iPad time mm-hmm. a day. And you can earn more, but he never does. And then my middle gets the same 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Never uses it.
Really?
He might use it like 10 minutes here or something like that. But it's so interesting to see. Mm-hmm. So... how, if you have these two different children,
right.
do you apply the same rules or what would you?
It starts getting really hard as the ages start moving. It just is. It's easy when they're little. You can kind of apply the same rules. But once they start moving up in grades and you've got one that's a lower grade, there's going to be different rules. And sometimes it might be, okay, sibling goes to bed here. Mm-hmm. You get this much time afterwards if you want to play a different game that usually you would not allow the younger sibling to see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you can do it that way. You just kind of have to find the times. And if your child is not interested in it, then, hey, great.
Yeah.
That's nice.
In our house, we call it like this is a third grade rule because I've got mm-hmm. one in third grade. And I'm like, well, this is a kindergarten rule.
There you go.
And that takes it off me. But it does. Like, nope, this is what they do in kindergarten. This is what they do in third grade.
And mm-hmm. you'll not notice, I mean, not to say that boys and girls are so, so different, but when I've said to the boys, you have to wait till this age, they'll... they're like, well, why? If I say that to my daughter, she's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's black and white.
Yeah.
So I think it's different per kid or maybe.
Yeah, it is. And I encourage any parent with social media apps, it's 13. Mm-hmm. When you're 13. And you will say it hundreds and hundreds of times.
Okay.
And they will count down to 13, especially because they want to be with the friends. And this is a vehicle to the friends. You can choose to let them text.
Okay.
Just know who they're texting. And pay attention. But if you're saying to them 13, in the meantime, as you get closer to that, get to know the apps. Get on the apps. I know for a lot of parents, you know, at least my age, it's like, okay, do I really want Snapchat on my phone, honestly? But what I've learned in going through this mm-hmm. is that's how I communicate sometimes with my daughter who does not live at home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We Snapchat. I don't Snapchat selfies. I Snapchat the dog.
Right.
And she'll always say, would you just? I'm like, no, it's not happening. But I'll send you a picture of the dog. You know, he's still alive.
Right.
You
know?
But learn it. Learn how it works. Learn the features of it. And understand what it is. And so when you decide, okay, I'm going to let my child have this app because they are now 13, make a big deal. 13th birthday, you get one. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. See how that goes.
One app.
Yes.
One app.
Let's start there. Yeah. Which one would you like? And then you hopefully have already researched and understand, mm-hmm. okay, these are probably the ones she's going to ask for, he or she's going to ask for. So I know how to use those. And, okay, we're going to set this up together. We're going to set private.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be private, my child. You will not have public. And here I have your user IDs and passwords for anything at all. So we're going to teach you how to change passwords, how to keep them strong, but mom and dad have all the user IDs and passwords.
Okay, I have one key mm-hmm. question. So, they're 13.
Yep.
they're on Instagram.
Right.
Let's say that's the one of them.
Okay.
Or maybe Snapchat. I don't know how Snapchat works very well, so okay. I'm going to use Instagram here. And they're on Instagram, mm-hmm. and they've created the account, and you have the account name and, mm-hmm. and password, and then they set up another one. How mm-hmm. can you find the other one?
It's not always easy.
Okay.
Keep in mind, here's the deal. Number one, you have the passwords to the phone. You should be able to unlock that phone anytime. And you sit down with them and you do a check on their phone. If you're
doing like a check to see like,
are they on multiple accounts?
Okay, yeah. Do they have multiple mm-hmm. accounts? You know, start looking mm-hmm. in their phone. Mm-hmm. Read up on how do you find fake Instagram accounts. Now, here's something I have learned over the years. Now, not all kids. So I preface everything with not all kids. Sure. Some kids will create a second account. The question to ask is why? All right. Now, the reason may be mom and dad follow me, and so do my aunts and my cousins and everybody else in my family. And gosh, you know what they do? They comment on my photos, which is a big no-no. Do not comment and do not like. They will come around in about 5 years and they'll say to you, why do you like my photo? And
oh, that's a faux pas. Nephew all the time. Yeah. Okay, I'm so sorry. I will stop.
Yeah, you can look, but especially parents, you may look, but I sure as heck don't want you commenting, especially middle school ages. They really dislike
it. I'm so glad you said that.
I've been doing it so wrong.
Okay. And you can ask your child when you see that kid. Say, hey, when I comment, am I kind of embarrassing you? And they might go, oh, I don't care. And if they say that, okay, then you're cool. But if they kind of go, yeah, I noticed that. Okay, well then back off. Because sometimes what ends up happening is I want to have an Instagram account with my friends, and I'm not necessarily doing anything bad, mm-hmm. but I sure don't want to post and have you reading everything mm-hmm. or commenting on my photos and stuff. So that's why I do it. Now, some kids will do it because they have other reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be sharing things that would blow your mind and make you embarrassed and angry. So find out why this is happening and then have the conversation.
Okay.
But not all kids create them.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But actually talk with your kid and say, okay, we're at this stage of life and you're going to get an Instagram account. I am going to follow you. Keep in mind, you can't always see what they post even when they follow. But is it okay for me to like your photos?
Okay.
And if your kid goes,
I'd rather you not.
Okay. Then you respect it.
I've heard you.
Then you respect the
life. You respect it and you say, okay, trust me, they do come back around senior year of high school. All of a sudden they'll be,
why didn't you like my photo?
Why didn't you like my photo?
Every like counts, Mom. Come on.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh I've crossed into another part of life.
Right.
So you just got to work with your kid. Know what your kid is like.
Yeah.
And really just talk with them.
Gotcha.
You know, and pay attention to their body language when you ask those questions, because the body language may tell you everything.
Oh,
yeah. You know, they might be like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Is there a good book that you recommend about body language?
Oh.
Specifically, I guess
in general,
it's great for everybody, but for kids?
I don't have one.
Okay.
I do not have one. I never had given that thought. It's really just start asking them, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes, keep in mind, they do it in them. With the development, the puberty and adolescence, they will just automatically assume any face you make is anger.
Yes.
You're angry.
They already do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can be smiling and saying, I'm not mad. Yeah, you're angry.
It's your tone.
It's your tone.
Yeah. So I should have read up on that stuff a long time ago, but I never did. So, but I don't have one.
I mean, unless I'm holding balloons, Jesus.
Right?
And like going down a roller coaster, and they think I'm mad.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What's that face?
Like, what face?
What face am I missing? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just it's a learning process, and the more you can keep them off their devices too, they'll learn to mm-hmm. read body language and inflection, and that's what we need them to learn how to do.
And that's a great point.
Yeah.
So you also have great resources. We kind of mentioned them at the mm-hmm. beginning of this of the podcast. Can mm-hmm. we go back over those, like the webinars and the handbooks?
Sure. The webinars, we host monthly webinars. You can see the list at operationparent.org on our homepage. There is the newest one will be coming, like next Tuesday at 2:00 is about self-harming behaviors, mm-hmm. and that's with Dr. Tony Shepherd, great local psychologist here. So that is an hour long, podcast. They are free right now. And so what you do is just register. And I get that 2 o'clock may not work for you, and that's perfectly fine. As long as you're registered, the next day you get the recording. Okay. We record all of our webinars. We have handouts that come with the webinars, and so they're just filled with an hour of invaluable information. Trends, what misconceptions, warning signs, what do I need to know, why does this happen, and where do I go get help? Mm-hmm. So that is the structure of every one of our webinars. And so as we get them recorded, we have to do a little bit of editing on them, then they show up on our resource page. So on our website, you go to our main page, and then you click on the menu and go to resources. And on resources, you will find past webinars.
Oh, great.
And as we continue to get them cleaned up, they go up there for viewing. But they're a great, great way for you to get information, watch it whenever you want, and to hear experts on that topic. Mm-hmm. And we do a variety, as I mentioned, we're into, right now we're doing all mental health topics. So
that's
we've
great.
Done a lot on anxiety, depression. We have ADHD coming up shortly to go into a different learning differences. So I just encourage you, come on to our website, register even if you can't watch, and then you can go ahead.
Yeah.
That time. So that's how our webinars work. The other thing is our parent handbooks. We have elementary parent handbook and middle and high school. So we are in our 7th edition of our middle and high school, over 40 topics dealing with raising a preteen and teen. So as I mentioned, a section just on the digital world, drugs, alcohol, mm-hmm. mental health, social issues, and then legal issues. So that you can just read. And honestly, by the time they're in middle school, they have heard a lot of this. They may know friends that are involved in some of this. Okay. Leave the book out. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts conversation, but it also lets them and tell them, if you know anybody that you think is in trouble, come to us and use the book. Because a lot of times the kids will look through and there's the warning signs. Yep. Yeah. And then it allows you to make the phone call to a parent and give them the heads up because parent may not know.
Gotcha.
So our elementary book is a lot toned down, a lot softer for the elementary parents. I encourage you from first grade through fourth, fifth, get the book. It mm-hmm. talks about friendships, bullying, cyberbullying, coping skills. It does talk about mental health. It talks about alcohol. And the reason is first alcohol usage is actually dropped into the elementary age. So you've got to start that conversation earlier. We are all about prevention at mm-hmm. Operation Parent. Get to know the information, talk to the kids, and begin that conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Just a wealth of knowledge. I'm so appreciative of what you guys are doing.
Yes.
It is a great, great, great organization.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank
this is
you.
So amazing to have this, especially in our town, but
yes. Yeah.
But available for everybody.
And I'm so glad that, I mean, our kids are still young, so I'm so glad that we actually have a place to go. Like,
yeah.
This is such a great resource mm-hmm. that I feel already, I'm like,
I might have an outlet.
I feel like I already have a deep breath coming that I'm
yeah.
like, okay, good. So
yeah.
I can look for things. Because, I mean, back in our day, we had the after-school specials.
Yes.
You know, and I think mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10 that, like, it painted it in such a way that you're like, should I be doing this? Like, I don't know, maybe this is cool. I'm not really sure. So it kind of gave you like a tiptoe around the conversation,
right.
But it never explained to you the way that you guys, I mean, you've been through it firsthand, or, you
yeah.
know, you've got
yeah.
a lot of tangible experience mm-hmm. that goes with it. So we're, you know, I just feel so lucky that
great.
You guys are a great resource for, you know,
great.
Not
yes.
just people here, but since it's
oh,
online,
we,
it's
we
for
sell
anybody.
Our handbooks across the United States.
And we'll make sure everybody
and our,
has
yeah,
those.
And our webinars Thanks. Go
yeah.
all over. We have, I think we're looking for that person in North Dakota to attend a webinar. And then we would
yes.
have hit people from all across the United States.
Okay,
okay
North
Dakota.
North Dakota. Shout out. It's a challenge.
We want that
Come
pink.
On.
We want that pink.
Yes.
So where can our listeners find you?
The best way to do it is go to our website at www.operationparent.org. Our phone number is 502-265-9045. You can call us anytime. Check us out on our website. That's usually, and if you want a community presentation or you want information on other topics, there is a way you can contact us right through the website and send the message to us.
That's amazing.
That's
and will you come back?
I would
yes.
love to.
We have a lot
awesome.
Of other things to talk to you about,
too.
Like especially drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And yes, really appreciate your work.
Oh, thanks
for coming.
Thanks for having
with us.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
Thanks for sharing your time with us. Help keep the CZL momentum going by rating our podcast and writing a review.
If you love what you heard in today's episode, snap a screenshot and post it to your Instagram stories.
Don't forget to tag us.